If you're interested in learning how to use toxic pesticides and synthetic salt fertilizers, you've got the wrong station. What we talk about here is common sense land management, how to use products that improve the soil, and we'll discuss using easy-to-grow adapted plants. We will tell you when and how to plant them correctly. To be on the show, call us at 866-444-DIRT. That's 866-444-3478. Now for all the answers to all of your questions, here's the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number when you hear somebody hang up is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Somebody called and didn't want to hold and wanted to talk about spider mites. I'll try to work that in. It's a little bit like aphids, but different enough to discuss. So we'll chat about that. Let me see who's been holding the longest, and I really appreciate that. I'm sorry we've taken so long to get to everybody. Alex in Grand Prairie next. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Howard. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I would like to start off by answering what I think the plant on this week might be. Is it flowering tobacco?
No, but that's an interesting guess. I can see the where you thought that. The shape of the flower is a little bit similar, but that is not the correct answer. What else did you have for me?
The next question is a little bit more complicated, and it's more or less me asking you to be a quick, impromptu real estater. Okay. Because I work in landscaping management all over DFW, I've seen kind of the differences all over the Metroplex, and I'm a little pretty familiar with your side of Lakewood and how beautiful it is out there, you know. But having looked at the USDA hardiness zone map, I see that a portion of Dallas, kind of about 10 miles on either side of the river, is actually 8B as opposed to 8A. And then I looked at that map and compared it to some of the old county soil maps. So I've kind of got an idea of where it might be a good place to really not just set up a garden, but really kind of set up a homestead. You know, I know that we have pockets of sandy soil that might be good for trees, but you know, I know that Lakewood doesn't really have lot sizes to allow for, you know, livestock. So, I mean, I kind of got an idea, and I was wondering if you have any advice or, you know, anything you would look for if, you know, you're looking for a place to, you know, literally set roots down.
Well, that's a really interesting question, Alex, and it's not easy because, as you know, and you even mentioned a minute ago, that there are some pockets of sandy soil, and that's the tricky part of it. The pockets of sandy soil that exists through the Metroplex are basically the old location of the rivers, you know, that have moved. And where that happens, you've got some of that in Oak Lawn, you've got some of it up in Flower Mound, and you've got it spotted here and there. And then the black soil varies in its chemistry and physics all over the place as well. You've got, you know, this plastic stuff. Where I am right now, I'm in Las Colinas out near the airport, and Las Colinas has the most destructive soil probably I've ever seen in my life. It'll tear foundations apart because it moves so tremendously between dry and wet. The soil we have in Lakewood is a totally different thing. It's black soil, but it's a black soil that's got some nice texture to it and a little bit of organic matter as opposed to some of the other soils where farming has been done, you know, and they've mined all of that out of the soil and all. And then below that is caliche, a real crumbly caliche, and then the deeper you get, it turns into a solid white rock and then, you know, blue shale on down below that. Interestingly enough, that soil in Lakewood, and you probably have noticed it if you've driven around over there very much, we have huge trees, and it is a very productive soil. Trees don't need real deep soil necessarily. Now, when you have hugely deep sandy soil, like, for example, I did some design work years ago in Memphis, Tennessee. Well, they have sandy loam there that's just so deep it's unreal, and the trees just get gigantic, and you can grow plants much easier. But to answer your question, you can be productive wherever you buy. If you can find some sandy soil, a sandy soil location, it'll be easier to be productive. I'll say that. On the other hand, if it's too sandy, if it's a sugar sand, like over in East Texas, for example, where I'm from, if it's really super sandy, that's probably the worst of all soils to bring into really good production because it has no holding capacity. It has no ability to hold on to organic matter, onto trace minerals, onto moisture, because it just, the water just, you know, shoots right through it. You can do it. It just takes a lot longer to do it. So as you're looking at soils, I guess my best advice to you would be to find a site that has some sandy, sandy-ish clay. In other words, a sandy loam that has a fair amount of clay in it. And in the mid-cities, there's quite a bit of that. A key to look for is to see if post oaks are growing there. If you see post oaks and blackjack oaks, you can be assured that you have that soil that's going to be in that category. I just went through that sandier soil that used to be a creek or a riverbed.
Yeah, and the spot I'm thinking about that matches up with the soil maps and the hardiness zone over kind of a little bit like southwest or southeast Irving. My goodness, there's some post oaks that have like 3 foot calipers easily.
Oh, you know? Yeah. There's a band through Irving that, the south part of Irving, that's exactly what we're talking about there. There's some in Fort Worth too. It's all across, but it's real spotty. I'd invest in a pipe probe. The pipe probe is the professional probe that I use, or anybody in the landscape business or in the plumbing business uses to find pipes and roots and things like that. It's fiberglass with rubber handle and has a bullet tip, so it's easy to push into the ground. And you can tell real quickly how deep the soil is, what level you're hitting rock, moisture level, and all kinds of things. And there's no dials or gadgets on it. I mean, it's all by feel. You can also break a head off of a driver, a golf club, and use that as a probe. But the pipe probe is a little longer and a little bit more effective for that. Use your maps. Use, you know, your own feel and look at the plants that are growing on the property, and you can make a good decision there that a lot of people wouldn't even think about.
Gotcha. All right, and one last question.
Okay.
When Mr. Miller is going to be on the radio show?
Next week, supposedly. I'm glad you brought that up. He's talking about Sid Miller, the Commissioner of Agriculture in the great state of Texas, coming on to talk about the feral hog problem, which is a gigantic problem that we have in Texas and other states have as well. He's booked for next week if something else doesn't come up. I think he'll come on. I don't have any doubt about that. It's just when he can work us into his schedule.
Gotcha. Are people allowed to call in and ask him some questions? Because I'll be blunt, I got bones to pick with the man. But you know, if it's,
we'll
it's
see.
Be an
it depends on what his time is. Don't worry. I'm going to cover all the bases. If you've got something extra you want me to ask him, send me a note to info@dirtdoctor.com, and I'll make sure that I get it asked. If we have time to do it, and if he wants to stay long enough, we will take questions. If not, I'll just handle it myself, okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. 866-444-3478. And if you haven't heard that story, he came up with a plan, he and his staff, I guess, to poison the pigs, the wild pigs, with warfarin, which is a blood thinner. And apparently wild hogs are very susceptible to it. It kills them, and it's not a nice death, I don't think. It turns their meat blue. And one of the things I'm going to bring up is an editorial that ran the Dallas Morning News by a fella that's in the business of selling the meat, selling the wild hog meat. And he's afraid, you know, of it hurting his business, and you can understand that. Other people are afraid of secondary injury to livestock and wildlife and water stream and the whole deal. So we're going to talk about it, but we've got to also address the other side of it, and that is that the feral hog problem, we've talked to Tony Manasseri, he and his wife and McKinney have personally been involved in the problem and seen how big it is. It is a huge problem. These pigs are tearing up agricultural land and crops and all kinds of things, and it is growing like crazy. And there's some reasons why it's growing. And anyway, we'll address the whole thing with him whenever we can get him on. Next up, well, we can get started with Daryl. Daryl, we always do that. I always get you just before the birds are ready to fly in. What can I do for you?
Well, I was listening to you on an app, and it cut you off exactly as you got to the second way to do beneficial nematodes. You said something about it coming in little trays with little, looks like putty, but then I lost you, and that's exactly what I tuned in today to find out about, because I want to put out the nematodes like Toot Sweet.
Yeah, if you get it from Arbico, if you get the nematodes from Arbico and some other places too, it'll come in those little trays. You want to hang on? We'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
No.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will talk to Daryl the Snake Man right after this about nematodes. Don't go away. To turn any space into a garden, it's easy with Smart Pot. It's a fabric container that's portable, foldable, reusable, 100% BPA-free, provides better drainage than ceramic or clay pots, releases heat, and prevents soil compaction and even circling roots. A really big deal. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com. That's smartpots.com.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Dram is celebrating 75 years of design and manufacturing of quality watering tools. Heavy-duty Dram sprinklers fit any size yard. Match any shape in your yard with the 9-pattern turret sprinkler. The oscillating sprinkler has 18 brass jets for uniform watering of up to 3,000 square feet. The spinning sprinkler creates a very fine soaking spray. Dram sprinklers, the professional's choice for lawn and garden, are available at your local independent garden center. Visit Dram on Facebook or at dram.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we were visiting with snake expert Daryl, but on a different subject. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, so I didn't realize until I got to Arbico that there's three different strains of these beneficial nematodes with different things they go after, and it looks like for the amount of coverage I'm looking for only double the price of one of them, I can get all three, so I'm thinking of doing it that way, but you say it's going to come as a putty?
It looks kind of like putty. That's just the best thing I've come up with to explain what it looks like. It's kind of moist, and it's sort of putty-ish looking. It maybe looks like some kind of meal that you got moist. You know, it's not liquid, but it's not a real hard solid either. And you just take a pinch of it and put it in. What I do is take a pinch of it and put it in the watering can, add water, and then go slosh that out. After I've figured out about how much total area that little tray of beneficial nematodes ought to cover. On the different species, you can get pretty technical with that. I tend to use the beneficial nematodes more generically than that. They'll all help with all the pests. It's just that some of them, the Steiner Nema, are better, for example, with the grub worms, and the heteros are better with some of the other insects. You see what I mean? So any of them will work with all of the different pests. It's just they have determined with their research that some of them are even better than others at certain pests. If you do them all, that's the best of, if the budget allows, that's the best of
worlds.
It gives you the most control overall. But just read the different, you know, whichever pest you're trying to handle. But I would guess you're trying to handle more than one. So,
oh, yeah, I'm looking at this list. There's not any of that I really want more of. So, I'm in.
If I was going to get one of them, just one, I'd probably get Steiner Nema.
Right.
And if I was going to do the best job of all, I'd get all three of them, and you get a real nice cross coverage there.
Well, there's two types of Steiner Nema. The carpet capsae is the one that's best for fleas and fly larvae and soldier ants. But the Felitae is fungus, gnats, ticks. You know what I mean? Leaf miners, onion maggots. I don't know. I figure let's just
do them both. That's the best way to go. They're all going to help with all those insects to a degree. They'll do better if you use them both or all three.
Meanwhile, of course, this is snake breeding season, so if you see more than one snake, no, that doesn't mean they travel in pairs. It's just one of them is in hot pursuit of the pheromone trail from the other one. Don't freak out. It won't last long. It's the normal thing. Please leave the snakes alone. They're as important and as beneficial as everything else in the ecosystem right now. So please, if you got a shovel in your hand and a snake in front of you, take two steps back and go play somewhere else.
There you go. One thing that came up just a couple of days ago, I was talking to one of my buddies about snakes and the koi. We're looking at some issues on our koi pond right now, and they were saying were snakes ever a problem? I said, well, no, not snakes, but we had a big blue heron come in and get all the big goldfish. The koi are so big now that apparently the blue heron leaves them alone. But I was telling him that one day I found a big water snake out digesting a fish, you know, in the lawn, and so that was an issue from time to time. They said, yeah, they had actually witnessed snakes working together and one snake herding the fish into an area where another one was getting them. Is that, have you ever heard of that, or is that
you
just
know, I would not be surprised. There's more and more stuff coming out about how much more intelligent reptiles are than we think they are. I've been saying that for years, but the general consensus, that there's stuff that you can find on YouTube where there's a guy who normally fishes on his own little dock. You know, he's got lakefront property, I guess, and the local water snake got so used to him being there, and, you know, when the fish was too small, he'd literally let the snake crawl up and he'd dangle it in front of him and let him, you know, he'd hand feed the snake the fish that were too small. People were freaking out, but that's a perfectly normal way to interact with the wildlife, if you ask me.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. Well, I appreciate it. Good luck with your nematodes, and we'll talk soon.
Sure. Take care.
Let's see what David's up to, and then I can get back to some of the things I hadn't covered yet. Hey, David, in Paris, Texas?
Yes, Paris, Texas. You have the most wonderful gardening show on the radio anywhere.
Well, thanks,
I listen
sir.
To the radio a lot. I was going to ask you a question about cabbage, but one of your previous callers brought up the question of difficulty of sprouting seeds or something or other, and seeds in general. And I wanted to share a story with your listeners about a couple of years ago, early June, I took a look at my garden and I thought, well, I can plant something else out there. I can go find some new seeds. And so on my trip to town, I stopped at one of the national farm store chains that's here in Paris, and I went in to buy another package of seeds, whether it, you know, be radishes or whatever. I just wanted something else. But, well, the seed display was gone, and so I asked the young lady there at the counter, I says, well, where's the seed display? And she says, oh, they came and got them. The seed company came back and picked them all up.
We got about 30 seconds. You better get to the point here pretty quick.
Thank you. Yes. And of course, a reasonable person would assume that the reason they do that is they repackage the seeds for sale the next year.
Well, sometimes they might do that, but most of the reputable companies would not. They'd say that seed's old and do a new crop. It would not be that.
Well, next time you have a pack of seeds in your hand, look at that hand-stamped insignia. It says packed for the year.
Oh, I got you. Okay, let me put you on hold. If you got something else, I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com
and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's see, spider mites. Let me catch up on that. That came in. I hadn't answered yet, and then we'll get back to the calls. That number, 866-444-3478. Spider mites are, first of all, they're often misidentified. In other words, diseases are often identified incorrectly as spider mites. I've seen that happen a lot, especially on tomatoes. There's a disease that hits all tomatoes, whether you're an organic grower or not. You'll have it less of a problem with it if you're organic, and you'll have it hit later in the season. But everybody gets it sooner or later to some degree. Sometimes it's very, very minor. It's called early blight. Some people call it a little different disease. It's called southern blight. But spider mites will come along with that disease sometimes. When you see the webbing and you see, look closely and you see the little red spider mites inside the webbing, that's spider mites. It's not just brown or yellow foliage. You know without question that the plant is in stress. Once again, most, not all, but most insects are indicating that there's a stress in the plant and Mother Nature is sending in the cleanup crew. With spider mites, it's that for sure, and it's not only that for sure, it's a specific kind of stress, a specific cause of the stress. And with spider mites, it's a problem with the plant's water system, its ability to pull up and transfer water properly through it. Now, that can be caused by a lot of different things. It can be caused by overwatering or underwatering or not having the soil prepared well or damaging the root system for some reason, you know, chemical contamination. It can be caused by a lot of different things. But when you have a spider mite, probing the soil is essential. Use a golf club with the head broken off, probing the soil, and see if it's too wet or too dry. Adding the soil amendments, if you haven't, that we recommend, the compost, rock minerals and sugars, dry molasses, cornmeal, all those things help, because when you stimulate the biological activity in the soil and you get the soil healthy and the roots healthy, again, the root hairs are healthy, the mycorrhizal fungus, the mycorrhizae starts to grow again. Well, that helps access and use the water properly. You see, it's all related, but with spider mites, it's definitely a water issue. Now, to knock them off, if you have spider mites, the easiest thing in the world to do, you use seaweed, liquid seaweed. Dr. T.L. Sen discovered it a long time ago and at Clemson, and the information's been out there for a long, long time, yet still people use and bemoan the fact that certain spider mite toxic poisons aren't on the market anymore. But liquid seaweed's all you need. You can use the Garrett Juice formula. You know, there's seaweed in it when you make it yourself or buy the commercial product, either one. And you can knock them off with that. But what you have to remember is that even though you can control them, get them off and out of the way with the seaweed, if you don't fix the problem that caused them to come there in the first place, they're going to come back, okay? 866-444-3478. Let me see where I am here. David's turn, I believe. David and I were talking off the air, and he wanted to hang on and talk about
the flamethrower.
Yeah, what you got for us on the flamethrower?
I promised to do some research on that, so I did buy one of those flamethrowers. And for people who don't know what that is, that's just a torch that hooks up to a small propane bottle,
right,
like you would use on your barbecue grill. And the idea is you go along between the rows and you just torch those weeds. Well, I want to vouch for it being an organic method for getting rid of things. And there is a certain catharsisism in just burning the daylights out of that weed and watching it die before your very eyes. And it is quite effective. However, you should use it as the weeds emerge when they're still tender,
right?
And
right.
Boy, they are gone. Now, one of the downsides is it gets a little expensive, because that propane bottle will empty much faster than you ever expected, because it's coming out there full bore.
Yeah, I noticed that too when I was playing around with.
When you compare the cost to buying chemical pesticides, which I wouldn't do if I was held at gunpoint, then it's not so bad. But the other downside is I've had a recent problem of nut grass in my garden, and you can stand there with that torch and just incinerate it, burn it to the ground, and hold it there, and you'll come back a couple of days later, and it'll be 2 inches high.
Well, one of the things that they recommend that you may or may not have seen, I think I even talked about it on the air, is that the proper use of any kind of a burning device, whether it's a large agricultural device that has a whole bunch of burners across it, or if it's just a single propane torch like you're talking about, if you hold it a little bit farther away from the plant so it's not just charring it and burning it, it actually kills more effectively. Did you try that with the nut sedge?
I read that also, Howard, and I guess I just didn't believe it.
Okay. Well, you might try that next, and let me know what you think and see if we can. You know, we're still at this point thinking that the molasses treatment is probably the best thing long term for the and get the soil oxygenated is the best way to get rid of the nut sedge.
I'll try that, Howard. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, David. Appreciate it. And we talked off the air more about the seed thing a little bit, and he brought up an interesting point that the seed companies probably do take the seed and repackage the same seed and put it back on the market, and it says on the package, packaged on a certain date, not collected and produced and given to you on a date. So it's a little tricky, the wording there. Most seed, we'll have to admit, will last decades. You know, if they're kept dry and don't get irradiated or something like that. But it's a little bit of a, you know, head scratcher about how old the seed is that you're buying. In most cases, though, the reputable seed companies that we talk about sometimes on the show, you're going to get seed that germinate very well. And if you ever have any problems, they'll stand behind it and help you out with something else. We don't always have that. I've dealt with some people with plants, interior plants and exterior too, that don't stand behind their stuff at all. So it doesn't matter what the business is. You're always dealing with a little bit of the same issue there. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. It's Ann's turn. Call in from Corsicana. Hi, Ann.
First, I'm very jealous of him. I've wanted one of those torches myself.
They're pretty cool to play with. You got to be careful. You're playing with fire, and you got to be careful not to burn something down.
But I can understand the psychological relief that comes from burning away the weeds. Well, first, I want to touch base. I've been thinking about telling you this for the last couple of times we've talked. I found the most effective chemical-free way of bed clearing and land clearing for when you want to plant. You know, a lot of times people say, you know, put plastic down or put cardboard down. But I've gotten a much more effective and quicker response from using corrugated tin. We had a couple extra sheets of corrugated tin left over when we were building the chicken coop, and we left it on the ground and moved it a couple of times, and every time we've lifted it up, everything below it is gone.
Oh, cool. That's a good tip.
It heats up the dirt, so you might have to add some amendments after it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very efficient, very quick, and unlike the cardboard, you're not digging it up with your hands afterwards, so it's really good.
Well, that's a good tip. Makes sense, too. A good way to solarize an area and move on to the next spot, yeah.
And it's consistently reusable as opposed to the plastic, which breaks down and may possibly leach more chemicals into your soil than you're interested in.
Okay, good tip. Thanks.
Okay, now let's talk about Sid Miller's idea. You know, I live here in a very rural environment. And we do see the pigs, and we have had some damage in the past. But, you know, we've talked about there's a gentleman in Hubbard who has a processing plant now that is selling the pork. And people who are hunters come in, and he will pay $70 a head live and $90 if you've processed it. But there are not enough places like that, and there isn't a cash incentive at this point. It would cost him less, as Sid and his department and his budget, to hire on actual staff or expand the staff he already has and set up programs where he can assist the farmers with actual hunters, with equipment, so that they're doing a more physical method of removal, but it's a permanent method that does not destroy the other animals or poison the other livestock with these chemicals that he's suggesting, the warfarin, which is a horrible way to die. I had a friend's dog get into her warfarin a few years back, and it was a 4-day process.
Yeah,
and
I've
once
heard
it starts,
not
it doesn't stop. You can't fix it. And I talked to Bob last Sunday about this, you know, Bob in San Antonio. And we both talked about it. He likes that other method, and I don't agree with that either. I think that we
the sodium nitrate.
Yeah, I think in the long run, if you cash incentivize people to hunt, if you make it worth their while, as opposed to spending, you know, you've got like a whole crew of people who can go from site to site where there's serious crisis going on, who can then have a guaranteed paycheck and still get this job done. Because if you're only getting two or three pigs a week, that's not a lifestyle. That's not a living for most families. You need to make it possible for him to pay the bills, and having a job in a time when people need jobs would be good, but removing the pigs would be even better.
What is your objection to the sodium nitrate?
I just think that any time that you're putting chemicals out, you're running the risk of having them break down into the environment, having been exposed to other animals. And then the other thing, I think I sent it to you on Facebook, there was a case where they're starting to use or still using poisons in a pop-up, like, yard dart type thing. The government was using them on coyotes. And they had a young boy who was exposed to the poison, and his dog was killed just recently. And I think that's the kind of thing that could happen with this warfarin. Children do live out in the woods and live out in the rural areas and could be exposed to this, wondering what the heck it is. Other animals could.
Well, one of the things I'll talk to.
Cat eats, when the dog, the cat eats the poisoned animal, they pass that on to themselves.
Well, one of the things
animals.
That Sid did is he's not allowing it to just be purchased and used. He's making it be put into these feeding stations that you have to buy, and that's a good news, bad news thing, because a lot of people couldn't afford to do that. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back with your questions right after this. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
Espoma has extremely high-quality organic products, including liquid plant foods with the innovative Easy Dose cap. Espoma also has a full line of granular organic lawn and garden foods, potting soils, and soil amendments that fit the Dirt Doctor program perfectly. Ask for Espoma products at garden centers, hardware, and other quality stores all across the U.S. For information on stores and products, visit Espoma.com or call 1-800-634-0603.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Franke and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Our mystery plant has been identified via email. Jordan is the winner. The plant is cestrum, yellow cestrum or golden cestrum. That's a shot of one of the flowering, one of the flowers in my garden. Mine gets big. Last year it got probably 12 feet tall. I guess it is a big woody perennial is probably what I'd call it. This winter killed it back a little bit, and I cut it back. It's big. It is bare in the winter, but it just blooms. But already blooming. It's been blooming now for a couple of weeks, and it will bloom in the shade. Blooms even better in full sun, but it will bloom in the shade because that's basically all we have in the backyard. And so it's a good tree for you. Not a tree, a big shrub or perennial for you to try. Cestrum, C-E-S-T-R-U-M, and we'll have the info put on there and the link, or you can just go to the website now, dirtdoctor.com in the library. It's in there and a bunch of pictures of it. You can see the ones at my place and some other shots as well. Let's get back to the phones and go to Lewis, Delaware. Is it Gina?
Good morning.
Hello, Gina.
Two questions. I have Apache blackberry and two different type of blueberry plants. Your Garrett juice, is there any reason why I wouldn't use that just for a healthy type of fertilizer?
No, it'd be great. It's good for any plants, any soil, interior plants, whatever. We've never run into anything. We thought we had an issue with orchids at one time, but it's the main fertilizer that Judy and I use on orchids around our place. So it's especially good on any kind of fruiting plants or plants that flower because it helps set bud and helps them go into production.
Okay. Is there a certain time of year that I should do that, or is that something I just periodically do to the whole year?
The people that use the Garrett Juice formula, which is always on the website and in my books if you want to make it yourself, or the commercial products, either one, the people that use it the best use it once a month. During the growing season, while the plants are growing, you know, in cool season plants growing in the winter, it includes then. But others, depending on the budget, will use it once a quarter. And I was talking to some people in various forms of agriculture over the years about using it one time and putting out dry molasses. I was talking to somebody at the Dallas Farmers Market just this past weekend. You can put out dry molasses instead of some bulky compost or something like that to start the stimulation of the biological activity and put out some organic material with, you know, the dry molasses, and then spray one time with Garrett Juice, and you can increase production pretty substantially with just that very simple two-step approach. If you can afford to go and do another application or two, or, you know, up to once a month, that's great, but you can get some pretty good results from just one time.
Fantastic. And thank you. And my other question is, and this drives me crazy, and I think it's the swallowtail butterfly caterpillar wipes out my parsley.
Your parsley? Usually I let the caterpillars that hit my herbs like that have some because I love the butterflies, and that probably is a butterfly that you're looking at there, have some, and then I have some as well. You can plant more plants. You can hand pick some of them off. I wouldn't spray the whole thing and kill all of them because you're killing a beautiful animal from the garden. Just don't let them take out all of it.
Yeah, I didn't want that either, and I would take them and I'd fling them, but it's just amazing. I'd go out and look, and I first thought somebody came up and actually snipped. I know that sounds weird, but because it cut it right off the parsley leaf itself, right off at the top of the steps, like as if somebody came up with a pair of scissors. And then I looked closer, and I was like, what in the world? So,
well, that's one of the reasons why I argue to a degree with some people who say don't use Trichogramma wasp because it'll hurt the butterflies. I use them basically every year, and we still have butterflies all over the place. So I think that they attack the moths, but kind of leave the butterflies alone. We have several different species of butterflies every year that don't seem to be, attacked by that. So that's why if you do see them being a problem, you're going to have to hand pick them or strategically spot spray with a BT or a spinosad, but I wouldn't recommend that at all. I'd let the butterflies be, and if there's too many, just pick some of them off.
Okay, all right, and just plant more parsley, I guess,
yeah,
to share.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's go to Dallas next and talk to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, Howard. I have a question about our pistache tree.
Okay.
There don't seem to be any leaves yet, and I'm concerned about whether that's normal.
It's not normal, but it's fairly common. I was looking at pistache trees the other day, and yesterday, in fact, there's a volunteer at our office that it's one of the issues with pistache. They're being spread by the birds, and we had one come up, and it's on the west side where we lost some big hackberries in a storm, and so I'm letting it grow, but they hadn't the one that I left has some very, very young leaves just now starting to come out. So if yours haven't fully leafed out yet, I don't think that's a worry at all.
Well, that's good news. Thanks so much.
I appreciate your call. That's happening with a whole lot of plants too. The pecan trees are just starting to come out. We've had a visitor to our garden, barred owls, beautiful big barred owls. I think they're young ones. I put some photographs on Facebook, so you might want to check that out. We've seen more of them and less rats and squirrels lately. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, I'll be back with you right after this.